Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
I'm taking a deep breath and leaping headlong into the debate over same-sex marriage. It's an important issue for us to explore on Open House, and important because of where we come from and the character of this program. It's important that this vexed issue is explored civilly, maturely, and helpfully. It has a great potential to either enhance or detract from the larger issues and a view of life, faith and culture that we explore here. I'd especially love you to join this conversation, 1300 40 2020, or post, as numbers have, on our Open House Community Facebook page. We're open to all comers. Should marriage be kept as something between a man and a woman? Should children be nurtured by only a mother and father? Or should marriage be opened up and as equality is offered and championed more and more in our secular society, should marriage be included in that? 1300 40 2020 or post on our Open House Community Facebook page. This past week has been a quite significant one on same-sex marriage. For much of this past year, federal MPs have been surveying their electorates on this issue, and this was the week that they reported back to Parliament on what they'd heard. Among Coalition, Labor, Independent and Green electorates, voters were said to be overwhelmingly against legalising same-sex marriage. Only 6 out of the 29-30 MPs who had their say said their electorates were in favour of it. At the same time, 50 leaders from a wide range of Christian churches put together a letter, a notable demonstration of unity, stressing the importance of marriage as a legal institution and for children to be nurtured by a mother and a father. But all of this hasn't and will not deter those who passionately champion the same-sex marriage cause. Joining me now on Open House, two people very familiar with and involved in this debate. First, Professor Karen Phelps, who again this past week with her partner Jackie were part of a delegation to the Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, to put their case for same-sex marriage. They've been together for 14 years, have adopted a 12-year-old daughter, and say 60% of voters, 53% of Christians support, as they put it, marriage equality. With Professor Phelps, Anglican Bishop, the Right Reverend Robert Forsyth, who's been a participant in this debate. He says the state should not be interfering in these matters. I must declare, as I have to Karen, that Bishop Forsyth is an old friend of mine, but he knows it doesn't and won't stop me asking hard questions, just as I know it doesn't stop him beating up on journalists. Professor Phelps, Bishop Forsyth, welcome to Open House.
Well, thank you, Lee.
It's great for you to join us tonight, both of you. Thank you. Professor, can I first ask you, what exactly was the case that you and your partner, Jackie, and your delegation put to the Prime Minister last week, and what was Julia Gillard's response?
We put a range of issues to the Prime Minister, and I think the first thing that I should say was that it was very important that for the first time the Prime Minister actually got to say face-to-face what she was thinking about the issue, and she got to hear directly from people that affected how we felt about the issue. So I think that direct dialogue was very important. And we put a number of issues from different perspectives. Jackie and I put our personal perspective. We delivered letters that were directed to the Prime Minister, very personal letters from two of our three children, about how they felt about the importance of marriage recognition, marriage equality for their parents. And we had Rodney Croom there, who was talking about how important it was from his perspective in terms of equality and family values for our families. And we had Paul Martin, who's a psychologist from Queensland. He spoke about the very important mental health issues, particularly youth mental health issues, and how damaging some of the very nasty rhetoric has been over the last couple of weeks around this issue, as some of the opponents have been speaking in very, I think, damaging terms about our relationships and our quest for equality. And Shelley Argent was speaking on behalf of her sons. She has one son who is gay and one son who's straight, and she wants them to be able to be recognised as equal.
What was the Prime Minister's response in that forum?
Well, she listened to what we had to say first, and then we discussed quite a number of issues around where her own view had arisen from, which she said came from her days as a university feminist. And I guess if you grow up in a time where marriage itself is questioned for anybody, I suppose that redefinitions become a bit of a challenge as you go along. But to be honest, I think the definition of marriage has changed many times. She certainly listened to what we had to say, and she spoke about the political complexity of the changes and what was likely to happen. And she did give us an assurance that ALP National Conference in December would actually be discussing this issue and it wouldn't be railroaded beforehand.
But she still doesn't support it.
Well, she's been on the record as saying that that she doesn't support it up until now. I'm hoping that, like Barack Obama, that the Prime Minister can see her way clear to evolving her view, because there's no question that the view of the community has changed quite significantly on this issue in the last decade particularly.
Can I put it to you that with the woeful polling figures of this government, the last thing that it's really going to buy is a battle over this issue, and that in cold, hard, practical political reality, you've probably got next to no chance?
I think there are probably votes in this for the ALP, because I know there were a lot of people who actually changed their vote away from the ALP and towards the Greens based purely on this issue at the last election. I don't think there are votes to be lost. But, you know, I'm not a politician and I'm, you know, I'm a political observer, not a, you know, professional political analyst. But certainly my view would be that would have more to gain than to lose. By looking at this issue as one of pro-choice, at looking at this issue of human rights, and of family values, because, like it or not, families have very different constructions these days than perhaps the 1950s or 1960s so-called traditional nuclear family. I mean, there are children who are being raised in families which have two mothers, two fathers, a mother and a father, a father and a stepmother, a mother and a stepfather, by single parents. And I think that what these children deserve is for their parents to have their relationships recognised in the way that their parents would like to have their relationship recognised.
Bishop Forsyth, I guess you'd accept that reality of the different modes of family life today.
Oh, yes, Lee. Can I start by saying that I approach this with respect for Karen's point of view, and I understand some of the what lies behind this this move to change the definition of marriage. And also, if I might, I'm sorry, I've got to do this, distance myself from any of the extreme rhetoric that's been so hurtful. I think this is not the way to deal with this debate.
Yes,
people are very important, and there are. It's an issue in which both sides, I think, need to listen very carefully to each other. Lee, I'm fully aware that there are many relationship activities, many families. The question behind this debate is not just shall we let homosexual relationships, man, man, woman, woman, count as marriage, but what is marriage? And by changing the definition of marriage, are we doing a healthy thing or an unhealthy thing for marriage? It's not just like there's no law that says homosexuals aren't allowed into this institution. It's what marriage it constitutes that has to be changed to enable marriage to be used of a man-man, a woman-woman relationship. And for me, Lee, there's one thing you can't change, and that is every child has a biological father and mother. And I think the public purpose of marriage, it's hard to know because marriage existed long before we sort of thought about it. We kind of woke up and there it was amongst us. I think the main social value, public value of marriage is not the affirmation of relationships, but the linking, attaching mothers and fathers to biological children in a structural way. It's the one relationship. Why is it two? Because two is man and woman. Why is it man and woman? Because man and woman create a child. In marriage, the father, the husband, is the normal. I know there are all kinds of exceptions in practice, but structurally, the husband is the father of that child. And in no homosexual relationship can both parents in the social sense be parents in the more fundamental sense. And I think marriage preserves that distinction. I think it's important to do so.
I just want to respond to that because I work in medicine. And a lot of what I do is helping couples where one or other is infertile. Under that rationale, you would be excluding an infertile male from marrying a fertile female because they weren't able to have a biological child.
I wouldn't, but I understand why you might ask that. No,
well,
I wouldn't.
But that's the same logic, you see. And the second thing is that people who are divorced or people who are older who have no intention of having children, marriage and procreation are quite separate entities. There are people who are having children who don't choose to get married. There are people who are married who don't choose to have children. So the child male-female definition of marriage, number one, is completely divorced from procreation itself, because we don't link marriage with procreation in so many different areas. And the second thing is that where people have already had their biological children and then they divorce and then remarry, they don't necessarily have to marry somebody who is going to procreate with them in a second family.
Bishop Forsyth.
I fully understand that point. It's the obvious and, in a sense, unaccepted response to my remarks. My remarks are not that every individual couple must be literally potential biological parents. I'm saying that the public good of marriage as an institution is to secure the relationship between the child and a particular pair of parents, and that all the other functions in marriage, which are much wider than just this, borrow from this fundamental role of marriage. In other words, to allow the proposed change would be to call two different realities. A man-woman relationship is a different kind of relationship to a man-man-woman-woman.
In what way?
Because one is potentially, theoretically, open to the procreation of children.
If you're over 50 as a woman, what about women who are postmenopausal? They are not open to procreation.
I know that. That's not the point I'm arguing. I'm not arguing individual cases. I'm well aware of that. Your point.
That's not an individual case. That's fundamental to your argument.
No, it's
that
not.
The people getting married have to be open to reproducing.
So, Bishop, the point you're making is what?
The point is not that individual people in particular cases, but that marriage as an institution is founded upon this reality. There are many people who are married who cannot, for other kind of particular social and historical reasons, at this time not have children. But marriage is structurally for those who can have children, to link biological parents to their children. That's why we have marriage.
But that's not true. That's just blatantly not true.
It is true.
It's not true. What I just mentioned one whole group of people where the woman is postmenopausal and has no hope or quite often desire to get
obviously having trouble being heard, because I entirely agree with you that many people who get married cannot have children.
Or don't want to have children. Well, it's not about having children.
Okay. That last bit doesn't follow.
Why? It does follow. Of course it follows.
No, it does not follow.
But I have biological children.
It does not follow.
And I would like to have the legal recognition of the marriage that I have with my partner.
But I'm saying you don't have a marriage.
But I'm saying I do. So we differ in the definition.
Exactly. And this is the question.
Yes.
Marriage as it's evolved in our society, the one we've inherited, we don't make it up. It's not something we invented. We have received it from the ancient past. What has never changed is it's about the structure of relationships in which children are typically, not all the time, not every case, not in all cases, in which typically it's the kind of relationship our society honours, because that link between biological children and parents is one of the key functions of marriage as an institution, though individuals may not themselves want or do that.
Bishop, are you saying that same-sex couples should not or cannot or are not good or inappropriate parents of children?
I'm saying they cannot be parents of the children in the biological sense. But that's
well, in the case of, with Karen Phelps, an adopted child.
The father and mother of the child are not parent one and parent two in a gay relationship.
That's more than 50% of the population. But if you happen to be a male and female, you can be legally recognised as married.
A relationship of two men or two women, one of them cannot be the parent of that child biologically. There is another person somewhere out there who is.
Male or female.
Who is, right? Somebody else is.
Professor, you've quoted this figure of 60% of Australians and 53% of Christians in a survey supporting gay marriage.
Yes.
It doesn't quite match the feedback from the federal MPs in Parliament this past week.
I think we have to look at a number of things. One is that not all of the people who support marriage equality and who are actually on the record or even behind the scenes of supporting marriage equality spoke in the Parliament this week. What we did hear was quite a lot of talk from people who haven't done properly statistically robust studies, surveys of their electorates. They've done a bit of a straw poll, or they've said, email me if you hate gay marriage. And of course, you know, that's a pretty selective way of garnering some kind of support for a view that the MP perhaps already holds. Now, I acknowledge that there are going to be a range of views on this subject. Some people hold very, very strongly pro-marriage equality views. Some hold very strongly anti-marriage equality views. And a lot of people in the middle are looking at this and saying, well, how do I feel about this? And even if people have been perhaps in the past not even really thought very much about it, I think they are at least paying attention to the debate and thinking to themselves, you know, what's the right thing to do here by the families who already exist when they have either two individuals or individuals with children, which may or may not be the biological children of one or other of the partners. And I think that the MPs, as they look at the surveys, which are showing pretty consistently in excess of 60%, and in some electorates in excess of 70% of support for marriage equality, because I think they see that this is really a human rights issue, it's an equity issue. It's not that gay marriage is going to be compulsory for anybody. It's not that the churches, if they choose not to marry same-sex couples, would be forced to. I think it's important that they continue to maintain that choice. But those churches that do choose to recognise same-sex marriage, I think it would be important for them to have the liberty to be able to do so as well.
On Open House, we're with Professor Karen Phelps and Bishop Robert Forsyth on the issue of same-sex marriage. Can I just challenge those figures, though? Because the survey on which you're basing those figures, half of the people in that survey said they were Christian. Yes. And I don't think I live in a society where half of the population is going to church on Sunday or even once a month on Sunday.
I think if people self-identify as Christian, you really have to take them at their word, don't you? I think that there are you know, different levels of engagement with people's religions. Yeah. Not everybody in Australia is Christian. We're a multi-theistic environment. And so I think while the Christian religion in Australia is in the majority, it's certainly not the only religion. There are many others.
Yes.
And that being said, there is a range of views amongst clergy. And you know, there are a number of noted clergy who've come out now in support of marriage equality.
Bishop, what would you say to that?
Look, I'm not troubled by the numbers. I don't know what the numbers are. I'm sure that there are many people in Australia the church they don't go to is Christian church, and I'm not surprised if a number of people who identified vaguely with the Christian church thought, without much thinking, oh yeah, let them have a go, no big deal. I think that, you know, the Australian fair go attitude on the whole says, what's wrong with it? It only takes reflection, I think, to do some further deeper thinking, to realise that all functions of marriage depend, the biological parenthood is not for all who are married, but it is the deep fundamental structural root of this particular relationship, and it's why our society has honoured it in a special way. I don't believe it's a human rights issue. I don't believe that. I mean, anybody can get married in our society. That is, if they fulfil the conditions. Anyone can get a PhD if they are able to fulfil the conditions. It's a question of fulfilling the conditions. I cannot be the leader of the New South Wales basketball team, not because there's some discrimination, because I just don't have in myself the quality to lead it. And I think that's what we're talking about here. It's not an arbitrary distinction. It's saying this is what marriage is. If you can fulfil the conditions, by all means get married. There are other relationships which may be equally honoured in our society. That's a question for the society, not the government.
Yes, I wanted to ask you that. Is it that you want to keep almost the word marriage purely for men and women? What if it was called something else for gay partnerships?
Look, I said the other day, in fact, it's calling two things that are fundamentally different the same name. I wouldn't personally mind. I know others may think it's outrageous. And just if there was a thing called gay marriage, I don't mind. I'm not trying to take away the honouring. If gay people want to have a structural honouring of their relationship, that's their business. I don't want the government to try and say to us that by law that there is no difference between the two, and that because I think there is a difference, and the loss will be long term. Short term make no difference. Long term, I do wonder, and we'll have to wait and see for the next generation and beyond, whether marriage, which cannot now mean linking biological parents by the definition, will change things for children, or whether it'll be a benign change. I don't know, but I do believe it's a significant long-term experiment, social experiment, to change the millennia-old definition of marriage on the grounds of trying to help people feel more affirmed and non-discriminated against.
Can I ask you both the same two questions to conclude? First question is this. What if the argument you're championing lost this debate, and what would our society be like that if that was the case? So, Professor, if the status quo remained, what would that be like?
I think the first thing we have to recognise is that we don't live, we live on an island, but we're part of an international community. And internationally, marriage equality is coming to reality in many countries, including South Africa, Argentina just last year, Uruguay, New York State, Netherlands, South Africa, Spain, you know, a number of countries around the world, and it's a growing number all the time. And I think that Australia is becoming out of step in the international community. So, you know, while a person who has a inherently conservative, fundamentalist religious view might say this is what they think marriage is, that definition is very different if you get on a plane and travel to another country where marriage equality has been legal, for example, in the Netherlands for 10 years. In countries where marriage equality has been made legal, the general feedback you get is that the overall sense of community has improved in those areas, and not just for people in same-sex relationships, but also for their broader family, their more extended family. And I think that we also need to recognise that over time, and you want to talk about millennia or centuries, but the definition and the construction and the meaning of marriage has changed many, many times in many, many countries. And, you know, there have been times where in Europe it was illegal for somebody who was Christian to marry someone who was Jewish. It was illegal in South Africa for someone who was non-white to marry someone who was white. And at the moment in Australia, it is not allowed for somebody who is in a same-sex relationship to
Bishop.
Marry. And that is something that will change.
Can I just say, marriage has changed in many ways, but it's never changed to mean man and wife for life, to use a recent phrase. That has remained till today the fundamental core of what marriage is.
Unless you're in Canada or the Netherlands
Africa. Yeah, but your point was in the past changing. I understand it's changing in the world today. My point is in the past, and those other changes about independent. Lee, my answer to your question is this. If the government acts in a way that I would prefer they not, I think it's unwise, then I really do hope that Kieran's arguments are right. I really do hope that this will be for good and not have unintended serious consequences long term.
Like what?
What I'm afraid of, the increasing alienation of children from biological parents and the loss and the kind of confusion entering into our society at some of the key levels of what a family is. That is, I don't mean horizontally, I mean vertically, who my ancestors are, where I come from. This fundamental right of a child to know its biological parents and a biological parent for their children, I'm hoping that there'll not be a deep confusion down the road in our society when we touch this institution.
Final question again to both of you. In practical, pragmatic, political terms, do you expect there will be a change to adopt gay marriage? Bishop Forsyth.
Well, until this week I thought so, but I don't know anymore.
Okay. Karen Phelps?
I think that the jury is still out on that, but I would like to think that our political processes will follow the view of the community, and more than 80% of the community believe that this change is inevitable.
Okay.
And I think it is in the best interest of the community.
Karen Phelps, Professor Karen Phelps and Bishop Robert Forsyth, very much appreciate you joining us on Open House. Thank you very much for your time.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.